Tuesday the 24th of November, Zion Kislev, Rabbi Dr. David Gottlieb, the care required in understanding Chazal.
In yeshivas, there is a discipline taught to Talmidim. You're discussing a Gemara, a Tesis, Marsha, and the discussion starts to become abstract and complicated, and the Chavrusas are going back and forth, and they finally come out with a definition. What is Ruba de Isa Kaman? What is Ruba de Laisa Kaman? What is the Chazokah? And then we teach them, go back and read the Gemara again, and read your Divrei Torah back into the words of the Gemara to see if they fit. Because often enough, in the abstract discussion, the exact formulation of the Gemara has been lost. And when you take the idea that you've arrived at, you put it back into the words in the Gemara, you see that it doesn't fit. It's his askus, lasak b'divrei Torah. The bracha says, this is an asik in Torah, and it's very useful because you correct yourself in making mistakes. This is true in general. Chazal wrote with tachlis hadikduk. And when we take an idea from Chazal, and we discuss it, think about it, analyze it, and debate it, often enough, we stray from the exact words of Chazal, and then we are discussing something that Chazal didn't say and didn't mean. In particular, when in the discussion you find yourself using a certain formulation, and you go back and see that Chazal didn't put it that way, they didn't say those words, then you have to be suspicious that maybe we're not talking about what Chazal was talking about. I want to give you some illustrations of where this can go wrong. Several places in Shas, as everyone knows, says Eilu Ve'Eilu Divrei Elokim Chayim. It says this on Machlokes, opposing views on a particular subject in Halacha or Galata. Shon and Achronim use this phrase Eilu Ve'Eilu Divrei Elokim Chayim. For some people, the question arises: how can both sides of a contradiction be true? How is that possible? And there's a great deal of effort trying to figure out, maybe it's something mystical that the human mind can't understand, but one should stop and ask, I'm questioning how two sides of a machlokes can be true. Chazal didn't say that. They didn't say, Eilu Ve'Eilu Divrei Emes. They said, Eilu Ve'Eilu Divrei Elokim Chayim. If they didn't say it my way, and what I'm talking about is shorter, it's more economical, just say Emes. And they didn't say that, then maybe that's not what they meant. Now, if you look into the Mefarshim, you'll find, I can't say that I've seen all of the Mefarshim, but Rabbi Tzvi Lampel, in his book, The Dynamics of Dispute, has a chapter on Eilu Ve'Eilu, and he brings down 9 Perushim in the Shonim and Acharonim, and not one says, both sides of a contradiction are true. Not one says that. The Ritva in Erevin says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Megala for Kol Dover, he says, even though it's hard to understand, Kol Dover, Mem Testamim, Utsad Tadzeh, Mem Testamim Tadzeh, let's say it's Tumah Tara, Mem Testamim Tumah, and Mem Testamim Tara. And when the Chachamim debate the Psak, and each one brings a Raya to his side, his Raya is Divrei Elokim Chayim, because the Kodesh Baruch Hu was Megala that Raya at Sinai. The Kodesh Baruch Hu was not Megala the Psak. The Psak is up to Sanhedrin to pass. So if the Machlekes is about the Psak, Eilu Ve'Eilu wasn't said about the Psak. It was said about the reasons that are given to support each side. Rashi Ksuba says something similar. He says when they bring Rayas, the Rayas that they bring are Emes because they apply in other places in Torah. All of them are genuine Rayas. The Eilu Ve'Eilu Divrei Elokim goes on the Rayas and not on the Psak. At any rate, it's one example of how not paying careful attention to what Chazal say can lead to a digression and a discussion which is not applied to what Chazal was talking about. Another example. Do bad things is there such a thing as Ra? It's a very abstract philosophical idea. But many people have told me it's an open Chazal. What did Nochem Ish Gamzu say? His Gamzu L'Tova. On horrific suffering that he brought upon himself because of his Avera, on each occurrence of the suffering, he said, Gamzu Lotova. What could be more open and obvious than that statement? And Rabbi Kiva, his Talmud, imitated his phraseology, Komad Ovid Rachmana Lotav Ovid. Doesn't that tell you straight out that everything's good? Now let's pay very careful attention. If you wanted to say everything is good, how would you say it? Would you not say, Gam Zu Tova? This too is good. But Nochem didn't say that. He said, Gam Zu Litova. What's the Lamed doing there? If you mean that everything is good, the Lamed is, at best, misleading, if not simply incorrect. That's because that isn't what he's saying. What he's saying is that everything that happens is for good. It leads to good. It will bring about good in the end. But not that it's good b'shas ma'aseh. Well, you're dying to chazal come out on the opposite side of that issue. That really, there is ra, but it isn't ra absolutely. It's ra that will lead to tov, because the ultimate tachlis of the bria is chesed, and Kodesh Baruch Hu will be megalgal, the gilgulim, mesabim, the sibubim, that will come out to be tov, but not that it is tov b'shas ma'aseh. And similarly, there are statements of Chazal which, if they're taken boldly and simplistically, say things that are exaggerated beyond their true boundaries. Mitzvah tzitzis shkula keneged kol Torah kula. Mitzvah tzitzis. Now, if you stop and think, how could that be? Mitzvah tzitzis is a mitzvah saseh. We know that the onesh for various averas come in a gradation, and the Rambam says that from the onesh for the avera, you can tell what the schar is for the fulfillment of the mitzvah. And tzitzis is a simple mitzvah saseh. Above that, you have lavim, and you have lavim sheshvehim malchus, and then you have misbidei shemaim and korex and misbidei bezdin. Could tzitzis be equal to Shabbos? Could tzitzis be equal to avodah zarah? How could that be? The answer is, as is very often in Chazal, when they say a statement of a rule, they mean it in only one application, in one dimension, in one respect. Mitzvah tzitzis is shkula k'neged kol Torah kula, because l'man tizkru, the pasuk says, that you remember the mitzvahs when you put on tzitzis. So it's shkula in the sense of remembering, but no, in no other sense is it shkula. Chazal medayik, Moshe Aaron, Aaron of Moshe, Malavish is schooling. Can anyone think that Aaron is equal to Moshe Rabbeinu? No one is equal to Moshe Rabbeinu. What it means is, in one respect, in respect of a type of nebuah, certain type, certain level, they had an equality. But in other things, certainly not. Here's another example. In Shir Shirim, the pasuk says, Zos Tamas, this is my pure one. There is an astonishing medrash on that pasuk. So, Al Tikri Tamasi, Ela To'omasi. Read, this one is my twin. The Melech is saying to his beloved, and the Melech we know is a Kodesh Baruch Hu, and the beloved is Klal Yisrael, the Borei Olam, whose Ein Sofi says to a Nivra, you're my twin. And if that isn't surprising enough, and you will try to perhaps reduce its impact, the Medrash goes on. Lo ani gadol mimena, lo hi gadol mimeni. She's not bigger than me, and I'm not bigger than she is. The Rabbanu Shel Olam, b'chvodo b'atzmo, says, he's not bigger than Klal Yisrael. That's impossible to understand. It's impossible to assimilate an idea like that. You look in the Ramchal, in the Das Tunos, and he explains as follows. Akash Baruch Hu created a world, and he created the world in an incomplete state, a state that needs tikkun. And Akash Baruch Hu said, I'm not going to do it alone. I'm not going to create the tikkun of the olam alone. Klal Yisrael has to play a role. Without Klal Yisrael, it won't happen. So we are partners, shutofim, in the tikkun of the olam. And therefore, it's necessary for both to play their part. Klal Yisrael has a necessary part in the Tikkun HaOlam. That's the only respect in which the Medrash is telling us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Kibbe Yochel and Klal Yisrael are equal, in that they're both necessary. But of course, to say they're both necessary is not to say that the role they play is identical, that the amount that they contribute is identical. If a great man is writing Chiddushei Torah and someone supplies him with food, without the food he'll starve, then they are both producing the Chiddushei Torah. The one who gives the food and the one who's learning the Torah and writing the Chiddushim. But the both are necessary, but the contributions are very different. All the Medrash is telling us is that Klal Yisrael is necessary for the Tikkun HaOlam, because Baruch Hu will not do it without us. And that's all. Someone reads that Medrash blindly and says that, says, Lo Ani Gadol Mimena, so therefore because Baruch Hu is not bigger than Klal Yisrael, would be a chuch betulu, would be ridiculous, but that isn't what the Chazal mean. Here's one which I think is more common to miss. Kol misha omer shedavid chata anyone la Torah or Reuben chata, anyone who says that David was chote is making a mistake. So the question becomes: so he didn't do a chet. So what was Nasan and Navi coming and telling him? And why is it that he suffered so terribly? Nasan and Navi says, "Lachin lo tamus, you're not going to die." But the rebellion of Shalom was in partial onesh for that chait. And indeed, Rabbi Avram ben Arambam in a Maspik Lo Der Shem says, if you look carefully in the Nach there, you'll see that David HaMelech doesn't defend himself against Avshalom. He just runs. He runs to the Yarden, he runs across the Yarden into the Midbar, and only when he and his people are starving does he say to them, if he attacks us, we'll defend ourselves. Why did he run? Why did he not fight back? David HaMelech, a great warrior, because he knew this was an onus for that chait. Now we face a chazal that says, "Kol mi she'omer she'dovet chotah ein lo Torah," and we think, "How could that be?" Now let's apply the test that I said before. What did Chazal say? Did Chazal say David lo chotah? They didn't say those words. We are discussing how could it be that he didn't do a chait. So in our minds, the principle has become David lo chotah. We should stop and ask if that's what Chazal are trying to say. Why didn't they say it that way? Why didn't they say David lo chata? Why did they say Kol misha omer David chata ein ela Torah? Then they're saying something else. They're not saying that David lo chata. What they're saying is, and I'm basing myself on Rav Dessler now, is that if you think that you know why he was chote and how he was chote, that you'll be mistaken. If you try to understand what his hate was, that you'll be mistaken. You won't get it right. Not that he wasn't chote, but you who say that he was chote, you will be wrong. That's certainly true if you read the psukim. Those who have learned the Gemara know that from the superficial reading of the psukim, you get an entirely wrong picture of what David HaMelech did. She was not an Eshes Ish, and Uriah was a Morid B'Melech, and therefore he was Chayav Misa anyway. And David HaMelech was only goring his Misa, and indeed, as one of the Mephoshim says, I forget which one, when he gives him the letter, and he says to him, the letter which he takes back to his commanding officer, and the letter says, engineer a battle, and then give a signal for retreat to everyone except Uriah, and then everyone will retreat, and he'll be killed by the enemy. And David HaMelech says, don't open this letter. Take this letter to your commanding officer and give it to him, and don't open it. What does David HaMelech expect that Uriah is going to do? Given that Uriah is already Moriah B'Malchus, he expects the minute that he gets out of David HaMelech's sight, he'll open up the letter and read it. And he'll open the letter and read it and realize it's a trap and run. David HaMelech doesn't expect him to die. He expects him to run, which will be just as good. It's surprising that he was Naaman in delivering the letter. At any rate, when Chazal say, Kol mi she'omer she'dovet chata einu ela Torah, to pay careful attention to what they said. They didn't say he didn't do a chait. They said that he who said he did will be making a mistake. That's a different proposition altogether. The Gemara says, Ein Mazal Yisrael. Now here is a second element in care in reading Chazal. For us, Chazal is what the Rishonim and Achronim say it is. Anyone who will try to understand an idea, certainly, to Paskin HaHalacha, by reading a Gemara is making a terrible mistake. Rav Yehuda Rav Ashi sealed the Gemara 1,500 years ago. Somewhat more than 1,500 years ago. Talmud Torah did not stop. Chiddush Torah did not stop in the last 1,500 years. For us to go straight to Chazal is like a blind man walking in the dark. The Rishonim are our eyes, and the Achronim are our eyes, and without them, we don't understand at all. Now, when the Gemara says, "Ein Mazal Yisrael," it's based on an incident that took place in Har Shabbos. Shmuel was sitting with a non-Jewish astrologer named Ablat. A group of workers passed by them, going out to the swamps to cut reeds, and Ablat pointed to one and said, "He's not coming back. He's going to die." Jewish workers. So Shmuel said it's not true. And when, at the end of the work period, they came back, and that Jewish worker was there, Shmuel called him over and said, "Anything unusual happened to you in this work day?" And he said, "Yes. Usually the workers share their food, put it into a common store, and everybody shares our food for lunch. This one worker didn't have, so I put in for him." When Shmuel called him over, he said, "Empty out your bag," the bag full of the reeds that he had cut. And inside the bag, there was a poisonous snake, chopped in half by the cutting tool that the worker had used to cut the reeds. So he said to him, "Did anything happen?" He said, "Yes, I put in food for this other worker." Shmuel said, "That's what the pasuk says, Stoka tatil mimavis, charity will save from death." And the Gemara says, "Mikan, ve'ein mazal Yisrael." Ein mazal Yisrael. Tosfos on the spot asks, wasn't there a poisonous snake waiting for him? Was Ablat's vision just wrong? Silly? Ridiculous? Out of touch with reality? Jews don't have a mazel? The non-Jewish astrologers saw that a poisonous snake was there to kill him. So what does it mean, Ein mazal Yisrael? Says Tosfos, it means that the mazel is not absolute. The mazel doesn't rule without exception. You can climb above the mazel. It's not that the mazel isn't real. Even for Yisrael, the mazel is real. But the Torah gives us an ability to climb above the mazel. This, as you remember, is really what Avraham Avinu was told by Kodesh Baruch Hu. Habet no ha-shamayim roth, urei zekoh ha-vim, usforosam, yibduchal usforosam. He said, "I see in the stars that I won't have children." What did the Kodesh Baruch Hu say to him? Did he say, "Avraham, don't look at the stars. The stars are irrelevant. The stars have nothing to do with you." No, he didn't say that. What he said was, you can climb above the stars. The stars are real, and they do have a hashpah. But you can climb above that hashpah. That's one approach in the Mefarshim. Then, the Ritva asks a question from the famous Gemara, that in the Dry Voch, you shouldn't have a din with a non-Jew, because it says, the mazel ra Yisrael. It's a bad mazel. Frank the Marshal, but we learned from the Moran Shabbos, the ain't mazel Yisrael. So what do you mean? You shouldn't have a din because it's a mazel ra. There is no mazel. Frank the Marshal, most of the time there is no mazel, but sometimes there is. Sometimes there is. And therefore, the Gemara says, don't make a din. Don't make a din. Because the mazel is there sometimes and not other times. If you read the Gemara in Shabbos, baldly, it says there isn't a mazel. If you read the Gemara that says, don't make a din, you see it's theory, you don't know what to do, and you look to the Ritzvah and you find out that a mazel Yisrael is limited. It isn't always true. The Pasuk says, Uvechanuni no bezos yomar kadosh. Test me. Aser, taser, aser, yishus v'tzashir. Give your miser, and I promise you, the money will come back. We had an incident in Osamach. A young man in his 30s had a business in the United States, and it started to go down. He wasn't frum, but he had some traditional knowledge. He went to a rabbi, and the rabbi said, "Look, we have a rule. Give miser, and if you give miser, then Kosh Baruch Hu will make your business masliyah." He gave miser month after month, and his business failed. Business failed. He came to Osamach to learn through some connection. And he said to Rav Endel Weinbach, one of the Rosh Yeshiva of Osamach, "I tested that Chazal, and I know it doesn't work." So Rav Endel said, "Had you received an injection of funds had the stucco worked and your business recovered, would you be in yeshiva now? He said, no, I'd be running my business. So Ben Wanda said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going to give you money to keep you out of yeshiva. Okay, we hear the Musar in it, and I don't know how it sounds to you. To me it sounds quite reasonable, but what about the Gemara? The Gemara says, L'b'lunin Rabba Zos, Yom HaKadosh, test me. Well, as a matter of fact, Rabbeinu Yonah in the Shari Tshuva says that it does not have to work. It does not have to work. It's Shar Gimel Perek Lamed. If you want to look it up. It could happen that you give the miser and it will come back later, or it will come back in a different way, or it will come back for a descendant, or it will be stored for Olam HaBo. It doesn't have to work. It's a normal thing to happen. It's a regular thing to happen. It can be expected to happen. But it isn't absolute. Even when the Pasuk says, test me! The Pasuk says, test me! Rabbeinu Yonah says it doesn't have to work. And Rav Mendel was simply applying that to a situation where it's quite natural. Why would a Kodesh Baruch Hu live up to that rule to keep somebody out of yeshiva? On the contrary, it's more important that you go to yeshiva. So that would be a good reason for it not to apply in this case. Once you understand that, you see that there's no limit to the calculation the Kodesh Baruch Hu can make. The rules that we receive in the Torah Shebaal Peh are rules for what will normally happen, but not rules for what is absolute. Harbim Yom Kod, you see this a lot. Basko Omeris, Basko Nivaplomi. So, that sounds like it's predestined. And in Yiddish, there is a phrase which has to be understood with great care. Bashert. Bashert. Now, I'm sure you remember back to when you were going out in Shaduchim. And if you didn't have the great good hashkacha to have it settled on the first shidduch, so there were times when you said no and times when the other person said no. Didn't it feel like you were making the decision? Did you feel like you were being manipulated? It was sealed from above? Well, what about the drivach again, where you don't make any simchas? Any simchas that are voluntary, you don't schedule them for the drivach, except an engagement. Why is an engagement different? Said the Mefarshim, because if it's Chaf Tamos, if you're ready and she's ready, grab it now. Grab it now. Because if you wait till after Tisha B'Av, it might not work. Now, the Talmud Chacham says, what do you mean it might not work? Either she's my Bashert, in which case she will be here on Chaf Av, on Yud Av, or she is my Bashert, I don't want her anyhow. So what am I in a rush for? The answer is, even if she's your Bashert, that the Basko was Machris, you might not get her. Shem Yichadmeru Al-Cheber Achim. So even a Basko that makes an announcement like that does not have to be absolute. That's true. That's true across the board. We know, we are taught, that Rosh Hashanah and Kippur, decisions are made for a person for the coming year. In particular, life and death. There's an astonishing Ramban in the Shem HaGemul. It says the following. You could have a person who, on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, was nigzar alav, that he should die in the coming year, and during the year he will do a colossal avera, and because of the colossal avera, he will live out the year against the gzera. Against the gzera. Because of the colossal level. How could that be? A normal person has mitzvos, skuyos, and averus. A normal person who does tshuva, he leaves the world clean. Ein davar omer b'fnei tshuva. Tshuva is absolute, and according to most Mefarshim, and with a couple of perhaps exceptions. If you do tshuva, you leave the world clean. If you don't do tshuva, and the time is up, then the result of the virus is taken off in Ganem, and the person goes into Olam HaBa clean. That's for 99.999999% of the population. But there's a tiny, tiny fraction whose record is so bad, it's so black, that they can't go into Olam HaBa because the prerequisites of Olam HaBa, the sensitivity to the ruchness of Olam HaBa, is dead in them. Those people, Rahman Al-Slam, Muzal Rabbah entirely. Not all the Rishonim agree to this. Rabban disagrees with it, but at least there are those who say so. Rabbah says it in Derech Hashem, three places. There are such ideas. And Rabbah says it. So now, what about that person's mitzvahs? Because Baruch Hu is tzodek. Every mitzvah has to be paid. And since he has rendered himself incapable of Olam Habo, his mitzvahs have to be paid in this world. So, says Rambam, this person was nigzal misa Amar Shoshana Yom Kippur because he's an ordinary person, an average person, and he'll die during the year. If he does tshuva before he dies, his averus will be taken off, and if not, he'll be taken off again, and go to Olam Habo. During the year, he does a colossal crime, a colossal avera that pushes him over into the 0.00001%, and he has now lost his ability to survive in Olam Habo, which means that his mitzvahs have to be paid in this world, and there isn't enough time this year to pay off his mitzvahs in this world, and therefore he'll have to live out beyond the date of Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, to live into the next year. So even the Gzeira on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur is not absolute. It's not absolute. It's what can be normally expected and what would be valid to occur, but it is not absolute. Similarly, as Tosfos asks several places in Shas, and talks about things that are decided from above, does a person have free will? Yes. Does he, Rachmanu Litzlan, have free will to commit suicide? Yes. So now, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, depending upon the shittus and the person, it's nigzar how much money the person will make in the coming year. And Yud Gimel Tishrei, the person commits suicide. Must we believe that if it was nigzar, he's going to make 100,000 pounds this year, as he lies dying, someone will slip a check of 100,000 pounds into his hand so that the gzeirah will come true? No, we don't have to believe that. Because a person, Rachman Litzlan, taking his own life, isn't what the Gzeirah was talking about. It was talking about what will happen if events proceed normally and naturally, and not without that. That being the case, the Gzeirahs, as they are, have to be understood in that context, and not more than that. Now, the only way to really appreciate Chazal, as I said, is to read Mefarshim. I'll leave you with one last thought, unfortunately, I'm not sure, that I found astonishing, and I found in speaking to people that not many people know it, and it has a practical Musar application for us as well. Kinas Sofrim Tar B'Chochma. That sounds like a hechsher for the energetic discussions you find in the Beis Medrash in Yeshiva. But the Marsha says, notice that the Gemara says Sofrim. It doesn't say Chachamim. Indeed, says the Marsha, Dere Chachamim benachas nishmoy, say Chazal. And when the Gemara compares Torah's Bavel and Torah's Eretz Yisrael, the Gemara says Torah's Eretz Yisrael was superior because Nochim zelazeh b'halach. So apparently this Hechsher of Kina is a limited Hechsher. It has an application, I'm not saying now that it's wrong, but it's right for Sofrim. People aspire to be Chachamim have to learn to climb above that. And the reason for it, it seems to me, is not too far to seek. When there is competition, there's a great measure of Shalom Lishmo in the learning. In the discussion, the goal is to show that I'm right and show that he's wrong. And that being the case, it detracts from the quality of the learning. Yes, it is a tremendous stimulus. It creates adrenaline. It creates energy. But on the other hand, it has a cost. A person who can have the same energy, or maybe even a little less energy, but can do it lishma, has his Torah is superior, and he will be miskavim lahalacha. As in fact, the Gemara says in several occasions, like the Gemara Menachos, and they're discussing tzitzis, and the stranger comes in and gives an opinion and shows his opinions better than everyone's, and the Talmud is upset that this stranger should do better, and Rav says, where are you from? He says to the stranger, who happened to be Ravina. And he said, I'm from Eretz Yisrael. And the Rav said, well, he's from Eretz Yisrael. What do you expect? Of course his halacha is better. Of course his learning is better. So that the tachrus that we have in Kinas Sofrim is, according to the Marsha, a secondary level. We should aspire to the higher level of Chachamim, the Nachas Dvar Nishmoim, and to be able to learn Torah Lishma.